Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. I won't spend a lot of time in review, but last week we talked about being a salty salt and a bright light. The Bible says in Matthew 5 that ye are the light of the world. The Bible says that ye are the salt of the earth. It's amazing to me that this comes directly after the Beatitudes and how it tells you to have the right attitude as a Christian, an attitude of caring about others, realizing in yourself that you are nothing without your Lord. And then it tells you that you are the salt of the earth and you are the light of the world. I talked to you in depth about being a salty salt, being of a good savor. And in this day and age and in this world, we're seeing it more and more, and it can become depressing, it really can. That the salt has certainly lost its savor at least a little bit. Certainly in this nation it's lost its savor. Because Christ is being trodden under the foot of men every single day. If you watch it more and more and more, you're going to find more people making excuses to have holidays like Kwanzaa. Oh, well, Brother Dave, don't start stepping on the holidays of different people. You don't understand. I'm not stepping on the holidays of other people. They're stepping on the holiday of Jesus Christ. See, you've got to make an issue in your own life, at least, that you're not going to say, well, I'm going to be wonderful and tolerant of everything that's going on, because being wonderful and tolerant is going to attract more people to us than being not wonderful and not tolerant. I've got to be honest with you. That's not true. The Lord will take care of building His church. The Lord will take care of bringing people to Him, but we cannot forsake the truth to have people come into our church. We cannot forsake the truth. You're not going to see me say, well, you know what, I know the King James is hard to understand, so I'm going to forsake that to make it easier for other folks. That's not what the Bible wants us to do. That's not what God wants us to do. God doesn't want us to forsake truth and forsake our faith. He wants us to earnestly contend for that. That's what our Savior is. That's what being salty is. If we're not that, then we are. Why in the world would the Lord have us here if we're not going to be salty for Him? Why in the world would we be here? Listen, we are the ones that stick to this. You got to know that. Our faith lies in these wonderful pages. That's where our faith lies. This book has been passed from generation, from generation, from generation, and literally has been preserved by the Almighty, so we have something to follow. Don't forsake what He's given you to follow. I've been working on a message the Lord never given me the liberty to preach about. Does the Lord really mean what He says? I want you to think about that for a minute. There's times in the Scripture where the Lord does things that, man, that was harsh. But the Lord meant what He said. I think of Uzzah back in the Old Testament. They're taking the ark. And to make a long story short, the ark looks like it's beginning to fall. And He goes and puts His hands to steady it. Was He supposed to do that? What happened to Him? He died now. Right now. He put His, and He wasn't doing anything bad, but He was going against what God had said. Do you think for one minute that God has changed His thought process on what He says? So are we going to be so flippant and arrogant as American people to think that we can just make up whatever God wants and we're right? God means what He says. He says, don't put your hands forth and touch the ark. There's only a certain people that can touch it. And if you're not one of those people and you touch it, you will die. He put His hand forward and He died. Did God mean what He said? See, we play with God. If you'll be honest with yourself, we play with God. We get to the verses and I'm going to hit on money. But this is true. Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. Wow, how have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Well, that's Old Testament. Okay, so what we'll do is this. We'll throw out the Old Testament for you. Would you like to do that? Would you like to throw out the Old Testament and just go New Testament? That's all we ever talk about? Do you think that's what God wants? He preserved all of his word from front to back. He preserved it all. So do you think that, well, now that this is all in New Testament, we don't need that anymore? Don't turn to 1 Corinthians then, where it talks about bringing money into the storehouse. Don't talk about that then. We, as Christians, play with God. God is not mocked. And I'm putting me in that too. A lot of times I look at what God has said, and you know what? God means what he says, folks. Please understand that. Matthew chapter 5, we are salt. We are light. I want to read these verses again to you, and then I want you to see the transition that he makes. What's funny is he makes a transition from telling you how to live a blessed life, telling you what you are, and then he goes right into dealing with people and how they feel about his law. That's what he makes the transition. He makes a transition telling people that if you will live this way, you will live a blessed life. And we went over that. Then he tells the people, this is what you are. So if you live that blessed life and this is what you are, then I'm going to now deal with what you feel about the laws that I have put forward. And I want to deal with how you have structured those laws. It's amazing how much we bend God's law. It's amazing on how much we push God's law to the edge. By the way, that's not anything new. The kids in your school do it every single day. They push as far as they can push until they get yelled at, and then they pull back a little bit. But that's the same everywhere you go. You talk about the homosexual crowd. You know what? We'll get to this in a minute. I'm a little bit ornery this morning. Just got to be honest with you. And you get to the homosexual crowd, you don't go back 20, 30 years ago. You didn't even hear about it. Today, they're pushing into the church houses. They're becoming preachers. They are literally infiltrating, and if you don't like it, you're the bad guy. They're pushing to the point. Let me ask you a question. Does God mean what he says? He said that it's a reproach. He said that it's an abomination to him. Did God mean what he says? Oh, well, Brother Dave, you ought not talk that way about people. It's not the person, it's the sin. You got to wrap your head around that, folks. God means what he says. The problem is nobody knows what he says anymore. In this verse is, blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my name's sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is there thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is hid on a hill or set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. You put a candle under a bushel, you're going to waste the candle. It's not going to get to do its job. Christ did not save you to be under a bushel. That's what he's trying to tell you here. He didn't save you to be under a bushel. He didn't save you so you can get on the lifeboat of the rapture. He didn't save you so you could be hid among the thieves in the rapture. He saved you so you could be a city set on a hill telling everyone about his wonderful grace. He didn't save you so you could join in these parties that everybody going to the cannabis lounge and become a marijuana smoker because now it's medicinal. He didn't save you so you could be part of the world and tolerant of everything that happens. He saved you so you could be a light for him. Why are we so ashamed to be that light? Why are we so ashamed to be Christian? Why are we so ashamed to say that this is wrong and this is right? Why are we so ashamed of that? We are not supposed to be under a bushel. We are supposed to be on a hill. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men, not so you can be glorified, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Your light becomes dimmer when you try to glorify you. Your light becomes less effective when you try to glorify yourself. I love to hear preachers, they often talk about their walk with God and how close to God they are. I don't know if they're trying to convince the people that they're close to God or trying to convince themselves that they're close to God. But I know that a walk with God will make you live in the Beatitudes. Why? It'll make you live in a place where you realize who you are. You walk with God, you realize who you are. You walk with God, it's a very humiliating experience. Walking with God lets you know that you need Him so very desperately. Walking with God does not make you a great man, it makes you a sinner. But it also makes you a redeemed sinner.
Amen.
Wonderful, wonderful line that you walk as a Christian. It's a beautiful place to be, understanding that you're so unworthy, but God has made you so very worthy. Verse 17. Think not that I am come to destroy the law. Now, what's the law? Do you remember what the law is? Now, listen, there's a lot more to it than what we're going to read, but turn to Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20. I don't know how many direct commands that God gave. I don't know how many direct orders that He gave to the law. I know that there's a number of that out there, but I don't know what that is right off the top of my head. But the vast majority of people will run immediately to the Ten Commandments as the law. Although I believe that there's a lot more to it than just the Ten Commandments. But just for time's sake, we'll go over that. And I've had discussions with people about, well, I obey the Ten Commandments. And I always ask them, the very first thing I ask, especially when I'm talking to somebody about the Lord, I'll say, okay, you obey the Ten Commandments, what are they? If I had to ask you right now, of course you're turned to them now, but if I had to ask you right off the top of your head, what are the Ten Commandments? And not very many people can tell you what they really are. You can tell, everyone will say, thou shalt not kill. That's the first one right off the top. You know, oh, well, thou shalt not kill, of course, and thou shalt not commit adultery. I think that one's in there. And thou shalt not steal. I know that one's in there. And thou shalt not covet, and that's not in there. And we all fall short on the covet right away. I mean, that's where you might as well forget it. But let's read what they are in verse 3. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. You fail right there. Very first, number one, thou shalt have no other gods before me. That's not true, Brother Dave. Really? What kept you out of church that service?
That's right.
That's right. Yeah, amen. See, what's amazing to me is we think that that means that it's an idol worship where you can see the cement or wooden or golden idol, where it's something you can touch, it's tangible. No way. Idolatry is much, much larger than that. Idolatry is anything that keeps you away from God. Anything that keeps you away from God. If Pastor Pillow and Deacon Sheets visit your house one morning and you decide that your covers are too warm to go to church, welcome to idolatry. Now, you may not believe that, and you may think, well, Brother Dave, listen to me. Does the Bible mean what it says? Forsake not the assembly of yourselves together. In other words, you ought to be in church. And I haven't even hit on everything else you ought to be as a Christian. Just the attendance of church. If you don't, there's something other than God that you look toward. Say what you want to say. Oh, Brother Dave, you ought not be. It's just too strict, brother. It's just too strict. You know what? I'm a little bit tired of people saying that's too strict. I'm a little bit tired of it. I'm just going to be honest with you today. I'm just going to be honest. Obviously, God is so weak that He can't provide you a job that doesn't let you go to church on Sunday. I don't go quit your jobs. But pray until God gives you one that you don't have to work on Sunday.
Amen.
Pray until God gives you a job that you don't have to work on Wednesday night. It's a sad statement when we've got 25 people in here on a Wednesday night. It's a sad statement when we don't have this church packed out. Brother Dave, this old-time preaching doesn't work anymore. Hogwash! Hogwash! It's the old-time preaching that does work. Well, brother, we don't have a football stadium filled like Joel Osteen. Well, so what? Cleveland still fills its stadium too.
Amen.
And Cleveland stinks.
Amen.
So does Joel Osteen.
Amen.
Well, you get mad at me. Brother Dave, you ought not talk about other people. I want to talk about anybody that takes you away from what God wants you to do.
Yeah.
Why in the world is a preacher not supposed to warn people of wolves?
Yeah.
Preacher's not supposed to talk about things because, well, Brother Dave, you're just not being very tolerant. I got no tolerance for people that take you out of the Scripture. I got no tolerance for people that take you away from the Bible. I got no tolerance for people that won't tell you how it is. Glory to God, I'm glad I had a mom that told me not to put my hand on top of the burner on the stove. Well, it frightened me and scared me, and I cried because she spanked me when I put my hand up near the stove. My mom shouldn't have done that. It's not good to spank. Give me a timeout. I'd be in jail right now if my mom gave me timeouts. You've got to understand something. God means what he says. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. I that still works today. The number four, verse four. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in the earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow thyself down to them nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God. God is jealous? You think of the attributes of God. You stop at love. God is love. You stop at graciousness. You stop at mercy. Did you ever park the car at jealous? The Lord your God is a jealous God. What is he jealous of? He's jealous of anything that takes your eyes off of him. I don't care what it is. It could be good things. Whatever takes your eye off your Lord is makes him jealous. Think about that for a minute. God loves you. He died for you. He doesn't owe you anything. But you owe him everything. There's going to be a day, I've heard this said a lot of times, when people get to heaven, they're going to run up and embrace the Lord. I wish that would be true, but you're not going to embrace the Lord, at least not at first. When you see him for the very first time and you look into his eyes, I got to believe the first place you're going to hit is your knees. You're probably going to lay there prostrate. Oh God, I am so sorry. When he wipes away those tears from your eyes, a lot of people think, well, that's going to be because you watched people go into the lake of fire. Could be. Not saying it's not. But I'm going to tell you this right now. I'm going to have tears when I see him. Because there's times that I fail him. And he won't put him on a big movie screen. I've heard that too. Where heaven and movies? Come on, give me a break. I've heard that. Preachers have said, well, there's going to be a big movie screen. They're going to show all your sins. Give me a break. What did he die for? You're not going to come and show me all my sins. I'm going to recall him for just a minute, I guarantee. And it's only going to take one to make me realize how great of a God I have. It's only going to take one to make my tears come. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. You're not going to bow yourself down to anything on this earth if you knew how much Jesus loved you. Thou shalt not bow thyself down to them nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children under the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. Showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Number seven. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. For the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. But he really doesn't mean that, right, Christian? He really doesn't mean it when you say GD or when you hear somebody say, it's all right. It's all right. I don't think the Lord thy God takes that lightly. Don't let them profane your Lord. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. Would to God we had that still. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son nor thy daughter, thy manservant, thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heaven and earth, and the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother. Woo, man, messed up again. That thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Would to God kids would read that today. Would to God kids would know that today. Honor thy father and mother. Well, there was a time that I went against my mother because I became a preacher. Well, that's not honoring mother. Are you sure? Think about that for a minute. Just because you don't do what your mom and dad tell you to do, as you do it for the Lord, I think it honors them. Full circle came around. My mother's completely proud of me now. Happy that I'm honoring her by honoring my Lord. You got to understand something. We as adults and parents in this room, I want to help you. You need to hear this. Your children are not number one. I'm very surprised I only got two amens. Your children are not number one. You do not structure your entire life around your kids. You structure your life around your God. If you structure your life around your God, you won't have Sunday soccer games. If you structure your life around God, you won't have baseball seasons that go right in the middle of your church services. Because what happens is you already took care of the first commandment by having something that was more important than God. Well, I follow the Ten Commandments. I don't know. 13, thou shalt not kill. Well, I've never killed anybody. Have you tore them down with your thoughts? Have you tore them down with your tongue? Thou shalt not commit adultery. That's in the Bible. It's amazing how forgiving this country is all of a sudden to adulterers. Well, everybody in the whole world's doing it. Why in the world? Hey, listen. It's about time you get somebody other than a hero of Tiger Woods. It's about time you... Hey, you know what's funny? Only one person was man enough to stand up and say, you know what, it was wrong. One person out of everybody interviewed. I'm sure that's by design. They don't want to put anybody up there. But listen, you've got to understand something. It is wrong to do what that man did. Amen. Don't try to sugarcoat that. Yeah, he's forgiven, but it was wrong. Good Lord, when's it going to be wrong again? When is sin going to be sin, people? When is that going to happen? Thou shalt not. But God must not have meant what he said. To me, it would seem to me that an adulterer ought not have a commercial sponsor. Not only does he not have one, he didn't lose any. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Don't lie about people. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Too late. Too late. Man, I failed in that one a lot of times. You go by those big homes, you're like, wow. Go visit Stan Hewitt Hall. Man, I wish I lived here. Woo! Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife. Nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Don't look at his car and say, man, I wish I had that. Do you know what? Boy, the Beatitudes really fit in when we look at this, don't they? Be happy with what you have, Christian. Amen. Let's go back over. So don't tell me that you follow the Ten Commandments. But the Lord said, think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do good and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. You've got to understand something. He's talking to saved people here. Saved people. If saved people teaching others to not do what he's commanded. That's what he's saying. If you are sitting there saying, oh, you know what, it's not right to tithe. Hey, listen, I've had that over and over again. Well, just get a number in your heart, and whatever that is, just go ahead and give it, and it'll be all right. That's not what God says. A tithe is a tenth. He says to give 10% of your first fruits. You can try to avoid that all you want to, Christian, but that's what the Bible says. Teaching others to do that, what are you doing? What are you doing when you're telling people, you know what, the King James really isn't. You got to hear that. Oh, I'm Dave. Brother Dave, you're always talking about the Bible. Yeah, amen. If you're teaching other people that the Bible isn't what it really is, what are you doing? What are you doing? You're teaching people to go against what God has said. That's straight from the pit of hell, folks. Because that's what the devil does. Brother Dave, you're running off the track here. Oh, no. This is right on the track. Let me show you something. Turn over to Galatians. Well, no, we're not going to get through this. You're surprised. Galatians chapter 3, verse 1. Oh, foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth? Before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you. This only would I learn of you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? How did you get saved, folks? That's what he's asking. How did you get saved? Did you get saved because you performed some law? Did you get saved because you did some great thing? You got saved because you heard and believed. Are ye so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh? It's amazing, though. We laugh at that, but Christians, I got to be honest with you. A lot of us look that way. A lot of us like live that way. I started out bad. And then Christ saved me. Ever since then, I've become a model Christian. I now am good. Now, you should hear me because I'm good. Oh, no, Christian. No. You're still a sinner. Still a sinner. Still saved by grace. You have not arrived. You can't count yourself to apprehended. You are not perfect. I've had statements come to these ears that they have said, I have not sinned since I've been 17 years old. They weren't saying because it is covered in the blood. I have not sinned in God's eyes. Since I was 17. They said, I have not committed sin since I was 17. That was Jerry Falwell that made that statement in a chapel service I was sitting in. I was sleeping at the time, and that woke me up. I've always had a problem with preachers that don't let you know that they're a sinner. I've had a problem with that. All throughout my life, I've had a problem with preachers not being willing to admit how human they are. I've had a problem with that. And to have a man stand up there and say, I have not committed sin since I was 17 years old. It's possible to live a pure and clean life. Nope. Nope. You just sinned 2 seconds ago, Jocko. Are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? Have you suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Even as Abraham believed God and it was counted to him for righteousness. So if you ever get somebody that says, well, Abraham wasn't saved. No, he believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. Not the works that Abraham did, the belief in the works that Abraham was doing. The belief in God that instructed those things. The belief is what got him to heaven, not what he did. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the Scripture, and the Scripture, and the Scripture, if you read with a thought in your mind, the processing thought that, I wonder what this scripture has to do with the Word of God. Think about this for a minute. If you will go through the scripture and see how many times that the Bible refers to itself or refers to scripture or refers to that as truth, you will be shocked at how many times you see it. Shocked! The Lord was not having an accident when he wrote that in this Bible that many times. He was not having an accident when he says, please refer to my scripture when you learn of me. He was not having an accident there. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is every one that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. If you can't keep the Ten Commandments, you are a sinner. If you, it's more than that. It's more than the Ten Commandments. There's a lot of commandments. If you can't keep the least of them, you are a sinner. So guess what that makes us all? Sinners. Boy, that's so simple. It makes you a sinner that you now come to the realization that you can't make it through what you can do. That's why the law was given. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. We're going to have to stop there. But there's a lot more to go. That whole chapter, there's a lot more to go. Talking about the law. The Lord has come to fulfill the law. He fulfilled the law because he was perfect. You'll see that a little bit later. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you again for this opportunity to teach Sunday school. Lord, please be with me this morning. Lord, I need you so bad. Lord, you've got to speak through me. I'm nothing without you. Lord, please help me today. Help everything to go just as you'd have it to go. Lord, anoint my pastor. He's in Toledo right now. Lord, let him speak with power, please, this morning. Let him speak with power. Let people get saved this morning, here and there. Lord, we need you. In a world that's deteriorating fast, Lord, we need you. I don't believe you're done with us yet. Help us, Lord. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.